The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, Monday afternoon. Welcome to another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. Lewis, how are you, buddy?
Hey, man.
Right about now. We're getting straight into this now, man. Straight
just
away.
Just 2 weeks away from Jamaica, man.
Ah, that's what's going on. Okay. Well, listen, we can talk about that as it gets closer, maybe. But I hear that...
I'm excited.
Well, I bet you are. Are you taking James?
Yeah, I'm taking the whole family.
Spring break.
No, it's the week after his spring break, actually.
So fuck school. Yeah, is that what's going on?
I mean, he's in the first grade. It's apples, oranges, adding, subtraction. You know, hey, what else?
You're giving him life experience.
I am giving him life experience, a cultural experience. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go climb a fucking waterfall, swim with some dolphins.
Sounds nice. Oh, to be Luis J. Gomez. I hear you've been having some engine troubles as well, Luis. That's what I really want to hear about. Fuck your holiday to Jamaica, because not everyone's going there. Everyone's sat listening to this right now in a dusty factory. Maybe they're driving a wagon. Maybe they're sat in a palatial mansion. Maybe they're not. But still, you had an Audi A6, or probably still have, but it was your pride and joy for a very short period of time. What condition is the car in right now?
The car's in still pretty decent condition, but, oh.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, no, you want it to be fucked up, don't you?
Just so I can laugh at your expense. I mean, I don't really, but just for the sake of the podcast, it would have been funny.
It really does. Like, you have, like, a new car, and there's nothing wrong with it, and then every little tiny nick, every little scratch, every little bump, like, the bumper has, like, it's a little tiny ding, and I'm like, well, I gotta get that fixed now. That's great. Why have a nice car if it's all dinged up and fucked up?
That's what I said to Callum, actually, because he did ding his car, and then there was another one, and then Megan, when she was driving it, she scraped it a little bit as well. And I said, Callum, you've got to keep on top of these things, because before you know it, if you don't get it fixed, after a while, it looks like shit, and then you don't give it any respect, because you're like, ah, it's a crappy old car, when it's not a crappy old car, you know what I mean? So go on, tell me the story. What did happen to the Audi?
So my girlfriend, I sent her to the supermarket, and while she was at the supermarket, she rolled over a curb, I guess, somehow. She drove over. So I have no idea what she possibly
rolled?
Did.
You mean she mounted a curb for a second?
She mounted a curb. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how the rim, the entire rim, you know, like sometimes if you scrape a rim, it has like a little scrape along the side of it. Entire rim, like she mounted it for so long that the entire rim has a scrape around it, meaning that
she didn't mount the curb, she didn't roll onto the curb. What she did, she drove up right alongside that fucking curb and just drove down. And she's like, what's that noise? And she just trashed your fucking car. Both wheels or just one?
Just one.
Okay.
But it's driving me wild. And now the little losing pressure light has come on. I have no idea why. I can't get it to go off if I'm not losing pressure, but it's saying that I'm losing pressure now.
Are you talking about your tires?
Yeah.
My car does the same thing. It said that 6 months now. It says that my back rear tire needs air, and I go and give it a good little kick. I put air in, and it still says it. So get fucked. So all right. The car wheels damaged. I want to know. Tell me about the situation or the conversation.
So I'll tell
your girlfriend.
Well, here's what happened. Okay, it's my fault because, you know, I've been doing this intermittent fasting. I wasn't doing the no sugar thing like you. Because I was like, I can intermittent fast. I like this. You know, so I was picking a 6 hour window, but. But I'm not that strict about it. I'm like, I could eat a little bit of sugar here and there. Why not? So here's why it's my fault. I had sent her to get cookies, cookie dough.
Should have made cookies, first of all. First of all, you know, all those unnatural ingredients, Lewis. If she's a real girl, Rebecca Bisping, on my request at any time, the drop of a hat, day or night, 3 o'clock in the morning, doesn't matter. Rebecca, I want cookies. She goes downstairs. She gets some clothes on. She starts getting the ingredients out. Flour, sugar, chocolate chips, whatever the fuck goes in them. And she makes them. So first of all, you need to get your girl in better. You know, she needs training up a little better, Luke.
This is why you have to buy your wife a horse.
Because
if I was snapping my fucking fingers and she had to bake me cookies, she'd be like, yeah, you know what? I could use a horse. So how about you reciprocate? So yeah, we have a different relationship. I'm not there yet. She's not baking me fucking cookies. I'm not buying her a fucking horse just yet. We're not there.
We've been together 21 years.
That's my goal, is for me to snap my fingers, have cookies, for me to just go out on whim and buy a horse for her. But not, here's where it's fucked up, because I was like, yeah, I want cookies. So she went and got cookie dough. And you're right. She was being a fucking lazy asshole, lazy American, didn't make them some scratch.
I'm joking. I do not snap my fingers and it's fine. And you like those crispy, fucking horrible, shitty, crunchy cookies anyway, don't you?
You're talking about Tate, and those come in a bag. She actually baked these. This is cookie dough.
Okay.
So she comes back, but here's the thing. She comes back, she bakes the cookies. And I eat probably 15 of the 24 cookies. And I sent her back out again.
Oh.
For more cookie dough.
Gluttony.
The second.
One of the seven deadly sins.
Yes.
You know, you're not respecting the seven deadly sins here, Lewis. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not.
Fuck thy neighbor's wife.
Fuck thy neighbor's wife. Covet. Covet thy neighbor's wife. I'm assuming that means fuck back in the Old Testament days. What else is there? Gluttony, the figure, the movie Seven, gluttony, vanity,
Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with.
Exactly. So anyway, you're not respecting the seven deadly sins. You send her back out and she trashes your car.
And then she fucked up my car. So it's sort of my fault, but it's driving me out of my mind.
So that's why you then text me yesterday, all full of it. Oh, by the way, if you go back to 2 weeks on this podcast, I'm like, oh, I'm starting a no sugar fast. Do you want to join in? Yeah, I'll join in. Didn't join in. Mocked me, in fact. Mocked me greatly every time.
It's fine. You say this and then we all have to do it. Then you don't do it and you get to
You didn't do it. You didn't even start. You had 15 out of 24 cookies.
No,
okay?
I had more. I got another dozen in me.
By the way, pride, greed, wrath. Wrath is a good one. Envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. I think we've all been guilty of them. Of all seven,
That should be the bio of this podcast.
Pride. We've all got pride. Why is that one of the seven deadly sins, by the way? You should be proud. I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of my wife. I'm proud of certain things that we do in life, you know? Why is that a sin?
Greed. Greed drives people to greatness. Greed puts the man on the moon. Greed money is the reason that we have the internet.
Money is the root of all evil, though, Lewis.
Money is the driving factor behind ingenuity, behind creativity, behind science, the arts, everything.
Not necessarily. Mm. I don't think Elon Musk is trying to colonize Mars for money. He's trying to help human beings. He's trying to help the human race.
He wanted to get rich, and that was one.
He's
of
already the richest motherfucker on the planet. He's got more money than he could ever dream of spending, and he's made more, incidentally, from that investment in Bitcoin than what he has done throughout all of his endeavors through Tesla. Wrath is also one of them. I agree with that one. We shouldn't be losing our wrath.
Yeah.
Or having wrath, lust. I mean, you're never going to meet your wife and you're not going to procreate unless you got a bit of lust going on. You know what I mean, Lewis?
Okay, get a little lusty. We all went to college. We were all a little lusty here and there. No, me neither, to be honest.
I don't think people that listen to this podcast went to college. Maybe some did, but no disrespect to anybody who did.
Offensive. This is a smart fan base.
Yeah, no, it is. And then gluttony and sloth. Gluttony. Yeah, well, you don't want to be a fat bastard.
And sloth, yeah. If you've seen my sparring footage, I'm very sloth-like.
I call Rebecca a sloth for years. That's what I've always called her. She has very sloth-like qualities. It's true.
She call you?
Many things. Many things that I shall not repeat. And just quickly, while we're on the topic of my wife, we talked about the horse. The horse comes tomorrow. Don't want to spend too long on it, but a lot of people in the comment section, oh, you're getting ripped off, man. You're getting ripped off. You can get a horse for $1,000. I'm sure you can. There's horses for courses, of course. And this one that we're using is for show jumping. It is not a Western horse. It's a very specific breed of horse that costs a lot more money. So, yeah, you can go buy a shitty little horse for, you know, whatever, however little you want to spend. But this is a very good deal. Anyway, just leaving that there.
Devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
You you're still going to get destroyed in the comments about your lack of horse knowledge. I feel like the people that are talking shit know way more than you. Like, you went back and you got that one little nugget of knowledge.
No.
You came back, you're like, I'm going to show them.
No, they don't know the situation. They don't know what my wife's doing. They don't know what my wife's training for. She's training for dressage and show jumping. Do you know what I mean? You need a certain type of horse for that. And those horses that have had that type of training cost a lot more money. This is like a $50,000 horse, actually. We're getting it on a super deal.
You got a good deal.
Yeah, we got a great deal. Trust me, got a great deal. But anyway, that comes tomorrow. So no doubt, many, many issues.
Devil's advocate?
Please, devil's avocado.
Who told you that it was a great deal? The people selling it to you?
No, it's not them. No, it's not. It's the woman that she does her horse riding with.
The same guy that sold you your Audi?
No. This is what I said to my wife. I said, this sounds exactly when I bought the Maserati. I said, that's exactly, it's a great investment. You can have it for 10 years and sell it for what it's worth, Beck. What kind of horse is it you're getting? A Holsteiner. Ain't no fucking, ooh. What is it, a Western? Not a Western horse, it's a Holsteiner.
Ew, not a Western. Western horses are Puerto Ricans, essentially.
Oh, it's a warm blood as well. A warm blood Holsteiner.
Instead of a cold-blooded horse, what is this fucking, is this a fantasy world? That's a dragon, Rebecca.
It's getting better and better by the day. Anyway, we don't want to hear about horses too much. So you're doing the keto diet, are you, Lewis?
So officially, as of yesterday, I decided, because I'm going to Jamaica in 15 days, I was like, I'm going to do a 15-day keto / running challenge. So I got to run for 30 minutes every day. I'm doing strict keto, strict, no ketchup like Mr. Bisping, real deal keto. For 15 days, shock the system, and then I'm going to Jamaica, and it's going to be a problem. I'm really fat.
Well, first of all, if you're doing proper keto, you should get this app, My Keto app. See those charts and stuff? You log in what you eat and see all that. See, they move around. And you do have an allowance. Look at that. I've got 34 grams of carbs left today. But look, hold on, look, see? Right? So I can have a little spudge of fucking ketchup if I want, by the way, dickhead.
What is it, My Keto?
Hold on, let me just look. It's called Keto Diet App. There you go. It is what it says on the tin. As I say, I started 2 weeks ago, but I want to know, Lewis, so what are you going to eat? What are you going to snack on? What is a go-to meal for you in this high state of ketosis that you will be finding yourself in very shortly?
So I went yesterday to the supermarket and just stocked up, because if I snack and I'm out, it's a little bit more difficult, but it's really meat, cheese, nuts.
Paleo Valley beef steaks.
Paleo Valley beef sticks, obviously. I think that's really, for the most part, what I snack on. There's not really much else to it. I got these Slim Fast shakes because they're keto friendly.
Very feminine. It's okay.
Hey, shake for breakfast, shake for lunch, sensible dinner.
I had a shake this morning, but I've got bad news to you, though. Well, for you, I've got bad news.
Me some good bit news for once?
Well, I'm sorry, I've got to break this to you because I care for you, Lewis. Okay. Oh. Have you not seen the latest study outside of Oxford University? Have you not been keeping up to date with the times?
I read the Oxford Journal daily.
Yes, well, this one must have slipped through the net. Because the recent study found that one slice of bacon can increase your chances of dementia by 44%. Brian, bring up the fucking article.
One slice? You had to have read this wrong.
Eating one rasher of bacon a day increases your chance of getting dementia by 44%. Studies into danger of processed meat suggest eating one rasher of bacon increases dementia by 44%. Just read that. But some processed meat can protect against dementia, scientists found. Basically, if it's not processed, this is what the study found. I'll bring it up. I'll give you some deets. I'll talk all about it.
I didn't even mention bacon. And yes, I bought 2 pounds of bacon, obviously.
Obviously. Well, of course. Yeah, no, because that is what you go
who
for.
Who has bacon every day? That's psychotic.
Well, maybe bacon eaters. You know what I mean? But still, if you eat unprocessed meats, apparently that helps you. So make sure it's just the good stuff, Lewis. You know what I mean? Like ours, Rebecca just looked at it. I eat turkey bacon, of course, because I don't eat pig. But Rebecca looked at the bacon that she provides for everyone else in the house. One ingredient. You know what that ingredient was?
Pig?
Pork. Yeah. There you go. Pork.
But you don't eat that bacon.
No, wouldn't be seen dead. Certainly, certainly Saturday morning when I got my Uber Eats, there was not 4 slices of thick cut bacon added on as a side. Definitely not.
Have you been sticking to a keto diet?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. Yeah. I would say 95% of the time. I allow myself a cheat meal once a week or twice a week. You know what I mean? Because, you know, But yeah, no, it's going good, going good. I'm losing weight, feeling better, definitely.
I have the keto strips coming in the mail today. I have to peel them.
Just get that up. Get that up, I'm telling you. Because then every time you eat, you can just talk into it as well. You don't need to type. You just say, I had blah, 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 blah. And then the charts adjust automatically. So you can see it. You know, it's a good reminder when you see the three charts. Fats, proteins, and carbohydrate. Obviously, carbs is the one that you got to watch. The hard thing on keto is getting enough fat as well. Because that's where you get your energy from. So, so good luck on your journey.
I eat cheese, I eat avocado, I eat nuts. I bought, three big things of those Planters Heart Healthy canisters. Love those,
Cashew nuts are full of carbs.
I don't think there's that many cashews in that.
I'm just saying, because I like cashew nuts. They were a good snack of mine, but high in carbohydrate is the cashew nuts. There you go. Bam, 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 bam. You didn't come here for advice on carbs and advice on nuts and cashews. You came here to listen to some mixed martial arts action, but what are you looking up there, Lewis? Are you looking up the carbohydrate value?
Are cashews keto friendly?
The answer is no.
At 9 grams of total carbs and 8 grams of net carbs per ounce, cashews may not be the best nut to eat while on keto. Holy shit. Professional athlete Michael Bisping never ceases to amaze.
It's almost like I know what I'm talking about. It's almost like I've been here before. It's almost like I've done a little bit of research and I've read something.
Not about that fucking horse.
Oh my God. Listen, you're all fucking
haters. Admit how little you've done, how little research you personally, I'm not saying Rebecca has it, but admit how little research you personally have done on this horse.
Why do I need to do research on it? It's not going to be my horse. I'm not going to be riding it. I'm not show jumping. I'm not doing none of that stuff. Rebecca has been to look at about 5 horses. She's been looking for a long, long time. Trust me. And this one's came up and it's the perfect horse. And it's not even on the market yet. And the guys, he'll sell it to her nice and cheap through the contact. But, this is the one.
God forbid, and knock on wood, this is a horrible thought.
Oh, please.
But God forbid, Rebecca, she's on horseback. Okay. She's jumping over barriers.
Yeah.
Rebecca's not super athletic.
What are you getting at? She dies?
She falls off that horse. She breaks her neck. She's dead.
A good friend of mine that I grew up with, his girlfriend died the same way. Jumped over a jump and the horse landed on her. She fell off and the horse fell over and crushed her and died.
Oh, Jesus. She lived from the fall and the horse fell on top of her?
Yes. And she died. It's not a laughing matter, actually. It's not a laughing matter. It's a friend of mine that I grew up with. He was devastated. I'm glad you find it funny. And listen, that can happen with horses. But what about every time you get into a car, you've got a way higher chance of dying in a car crash. You know what I mean? Statistically, you're more likely to die on the way to the airport. What I mean? So you can't live your life like that.
Do you ever see Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh God, long time. I mean, I can't really quote much from it.
It was just the way it kind of reminded me of the one joke where he's telling the girl that his parents had died in a plane accident, and then he changes it. He's like, it was a train accident. She's like, didn't you say it was a plane accident? He was like, yeah, a plane fell on the train.
Oh, no, I haven't. I don't remember that. Is it Weekend at Bernie's the one where there's a dead guy with like a bag in his head or something? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. they're pretending he's alive the whole weekend.
He's
their boss. But all right, so let's just say, hypothetically speaking, this is a horrible thought.
Thanks for wishing. You shouldn't even speak to certain things. It's bad luck. If my wife dies on a horse this week, it's your fault.
I will take credit. If she dies on a horse this week,
way of looking at it, but okay.
That is some bizarre fucking shit. You're like, dude, Lewis knows voodoo.
Rebecca, come here a second, please. She better fucking say the right thing now as well. When I say how much research have you done, she better sound like she's done a lot. Otherwise, she's coming, me.
I'll tell you the point I'm making, though, is because you said, I don't need to do the research. It's not my horse. Let's say she, dies a horrible death jumping things.
I'll just crouch.
And Lewis is saying that you're going to die on the horse.
No, I didn't say you're going to die. I said there's an outside chance. That's a very harsh reality. Every time you get up on that horse, just like every time Michael Bisping stepped into the cage, he was putting his life on the line. Every time you get up on that stallion, you're putting your life on the line.
First of all, it's not a stallion, but you're right. This is a risk that I will be taking every time.
I'm saying you're hardcore and we respect it.
The point is
that you could die. Now, Michael was saying that he did not have to do any research on the horse because it's not his horse. You had to do all the research. Now, the point I'm making is, should you die, he's going to take that horse. now becomes his horse, and he's done no research on this horse, and he has
fuck
no
the horse. If that horse dies, I'm going to kill it.
I was going to say, it's a horse. If the horse kills me, I think Michael will take
I'll take a shotgun and blow that horse's head off. Okay? I'm just throwing
I would expect you to.
Yeah, I'm going to kill. Oh, by the way, what is the horse going to be called?
I don't want to say.
Just say the name of the horse.
I'm not saying.
I've just told you to say it.
No, I don't want
to
say.
Whoa, Rebecca.
It's a secret.
Don't disrespect me and disobey me.
Francis Ngannou.
Gabba, have a guess, Lewis.
Is it named Michael?
No. Very close. A variation of Michael.
Mikey. Mikey.
A horse named Mikey.
There you go. It's a strong, powerful name. It is. You know, endearing. Some might say biblical. You know, so still, she's got great taste. But still, everyone's saying in the comments, mate, that you're getting ripped off. Tell them why you're not getting ripped off.
Because he's got like a, you know, the bloodline's very good. His parents were very successful show jumpers.
Yeah. He's not a Western horse. He's not tittle-tattle, Lewis.
He's just he's got good confirmation. He's a very good quality horse.
He was trained in some like fancy school.
I don't know exactly, but trust me, he's a good horse. I am not getting
ripped. How much research did you do? Did you do a lot of research?
Yeah, she went to view about five horses.
What do you mean by research though? Yeah, I went to view some horses, but like, what do you mean research? Like into
I'm
the
saying,
breed
how much
or
do you know like I don't know.
She's being guided. She's being guided, Lewis. The only reason I want to get off this is for the sake of the podcast and everybody listening.
This is the same
conversation that they had last week. That's the only reason I'm speeding this up. She's not going into this alone. She's got people, horsey people guiding her.
Centaurs,
half man, half horse. Right? They know it. Do you know what I mean? They know the human side. They know they know that side. Okay. Stop. We went the other day. Lucas was scared. He was scared of the horse.
Of the horse.
Wait, not mine, but he wouldn't feed them. No.
Yeah. Whatever. So stay tuned. Stop hating on it. Lewis, just because we got a horse, okay. Don't hate on us.
I'll buy a fucking
I got
horse.
An Audi. He gets an Audi. Watch this. Lucy's going to have a shitty little fucking pony. I got this for $500. He's got one
you
leg.
You can get a pony
scabs.
For $2,500. I'm going to buy a pony and you're going to feel like an asshole. I'm going to show jump with my pony.
Yeah, go get it. I can't wait to see it. Bloody Lewis's pony. My God. It'll be Harrington on all fours.
Harrington, fuck you.
Yeah. All right, get out of here. Maybe some chocolate chip cookies, please. See, she'll bring them in 5 minutes. Okay. Just you wait and see. Okay. She's taking Ellie horse riding. Yeah, my daughter's on the back of a horse now as well. If she dies, that's even worse. No one's going to die, by the way.
All right, Mike, real quick, we need to thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is the EcoDen Pillow. I love my EcoDen Pillow. I'm telling you right now, I have two of them on my bed. The other pillows are there for basically looks because I sleep every single night on my EcoDen. If you're having trouble sleeping or if you're experiencing neck, shoulder, or back pain, I'm going to tell you about the best pillow you've ever had in your entire life. It is like sleeping on a goddamn cloud. It is memory foam. It is the shape of it. I don't know what it is. They shaped it to where you can't get a bad angle. It feels good whether you're on your back or on your side. I really do love it.
Yeah, that's because the EcoDen pillow is shaped to support your neck at the perfect angle, keeping your head and shoulders supported for a restful sleep and a pain-free morning. And by the way, this is coming from someone, I still have the scars. I had neck surgery recently, and pillows have really been the bane of my life. I have not been able to find a good one. Like you, I have a number of pillows there, but that's just to prop me up when I'm watching TV. And when we turn the TV off at night, they all go on the floor apart from the EcoDen pillow. That's all you need. I know you got two, but you realistically only need one. I love it. I lie on there. My head just kind of sinks into it. The perfect fucking angle, the perfect support. And I sleep like a baby. Listen, you know, if you can't get good pillows and you don't have a good night's sleep, you're going to feel like shit the next day. You're not going to be productive. And if you're anything like me, you're going to be in a bad mood. But with the EcoDen pillow, fortunately, Lewis, that is a thing of the past.
Yeah, and all you got to do to check out the EcoDen pillow, this is really an incredible gift. I think Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. This is a really cool gift for Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Well, hold on. Let me just tell the people this before you get into it. This pillow was designed by sleep experts. Sleep experts. Well, you know what a sleep expert is?
They should be. I mean, they're fucking designing pillows.
In sleep. So if you want to sleep, these are the people that you need to listen to. And these sleep experts have designed the pillow.
These pillows were designed by race car drivers.
But they fucking slept well. It will eliminate neck and back pain in as little as 5 days. If only I knew that before I had surgery. But I'll be honest, seriously, this thing is fantastic. Lewis, tell them about the offer.
Right now, go to ecodendreams.com. That is ecodendreams.com. ecodendreams.com. And use the promo code BELIEVE15. You're going to save 15% off your entire order. So once again, go to ecodendreams.com. Use that promo code BELIEVE15. Save 15%. Go grab an EcoDen pillow for your family, for yourself, for your friends, for your enemies. Have them sleep tight. They're never going to know your plans if you have them sleeping tight every single night. That's when you get them. You stab them in their back. EcoDenDreams.com. All right, where were we?
All right, main event. Let's just get into this main event of the weekend because I do want to talk about it. If everybody was watching the fight at the weekend, I'll ask you how you felt about it because when I was commentating the fight, it's you know, you got to call it like you see it. Mm. And what I saw at the weekend, I mean, Derek Brunson was really good, so I'm not taking away from Brunson's performance. Kevin Holland is so naturally gifted, and he can be so good. But what I saw last night was somebody throwing away an opportunity because they didn't switch on. You know, I like Brunson. I like Holland because of his theatrics, and everybody loves, you know, how he talks, and he's a character, and yada, 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 and he's got a great chin, and he's like, he never seems phased or stressed out, and it's a really great approach. But at some point, you have to go, right, okay, enough of this bullshit now. Because in between rounds, he's shouting out to Khabib Nurmagomedov, who was right there with Dana. Say, give me some wrestling advice, Dana. Sorry, Khabib, and blah, 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 blah. And the whole thing was a joke. And, you know, I'm not talking shit about him. That's the only reason I'm frustrated is because he could be so good. Do you know what I mean? And again, I'm not taking away from Brunson's performance. Brunson did what he needed to do. Went out there, took him down time and time again and controlled the fight.
Yeah, fought a very smart fight.
Yeah, yeah, of course he did. Just didn't seem like Brunson. You got to respect the situation that you're in. Anyway, go on. Tell me your thoughts as a fan watching.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, Brunson did what he had to do to win. And, you know, Kevin Holland's a really dangerous opponent who's very creative, you know, can finish fights in creative ways. We've seen him do that. So, look, I understand Brunson's approach. He fought, you know, damn near perfect. It wasn't the most fan-friendly approach. But the one you said, I think you said it on the broadcast, they're only going to remember who won. And I think that also goes for Kevin Holland, where it's like, Kevin, look, it is great. And I like Kevin Holland. We had him on the show. He's awesome. He's a really cool guy. He is very funny, both in and out of the cage. I like the antics in the cage, but
love it.
You got to win. If you don't win, it comes off as almost frustrating if you're a fan of his, because you're like, dude, what are you doing? You're on the bottom. You're getting wrestle fucked right now. Derek Brunson's holding you in position. You have nothing to you're not escaping. You're not even coming close to escaping. And now you're sort of showboating. And it's such a weird, bizarre thing where you want what we're watching this elite level athlete and elite level mixed martial arts. You want them to take it seriously. And that's why we're paying money. I know it was a free, but we know we pay for the app. I mean, you pay by watching commercials, right?
You pay with your time. You dedicate your time and effort to watching it. Yeah.
So that's ultimately my point. I was frustrated as well. You know, more so because if you're losing the fight at one point, you got to just really start taking it very seriously.
Yeah, because the thing is, and again, I'm not talking shit about Kevin Holland. I mean, I guess you could twist it like that, but I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of the guy and I want to see him reach his full potential. I'm also a fan of Derek Brunson, you know, so it was kind of made the best man win. It's not because I was rooting for Brunson so much, or sorry, pardon me, Kevin Holland. It's not because I was rooting for him. It's because I was seeing him squander a really good opportunity. And the antics, as you said, everyone loves that. It's great. You know, I shared some videos of him last week on Twitter and stuff, and they were hilarious. I must have watched his one video on Twitter about three times because he is so calm. I remember at one point, Thiago Santos, everybody knows Santos hit so fucking hard. He's got true one-punch knockout power, and he was hitting Brunson in this clip, and he's like, man, you just hit me so hard. Why are you going to do that, man? Why are you going to hit me like that? You know, and it's hilarious. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's all well and good if you're winning. If you win the fight, last year he worked very hard. He went 5 in a row. Then he comes to this fight here and it wasn't going his way, right? I don't care. First round he slipped. Brunson dives on top of him. Can't fault Brunson for doing that. If someone's, you know, it's unfortunate for Holland that he slipped, but that's to Brunson's advantage. So he takes him down, holds him down the entire round. At one point, a lot of the time actually through the fight, Holland had him in a body triangle, which again, I'm not getting into the specifics of technique. If he doesn't know the techniques, then that's fair enough. You can't give someone shit because he doesn't know how to get up off his feet. But the body triangle from underneath, all you're doing is essentially pulling your opponent on top of you. So, not, you know, you don't want to do that for sure. But it was just kind of the attitude as it was going on, as I say, just not switching on. And I didn't see his coaches even say to him, hey, dickhead, listen, is this what you came here for? Did you train for the last 2 months to come here and lose? Did you come here? I mean, because look at what he was going through when he eats shots and he's in these bad positions. He still has the composure. He still has the ability. He's just that fucking good. He's got a great chin. He was never hurt once. You know what I mean? But he wasn't switched on. You know, and as I say, you don't do all that work to go there and act like you don't care. And I know that's kind of like his defense mechanism. It's, oh, all right, whatever, you win some, you lose some. But what do you want out of this? Because I know he likes expensive things. There was a feature on the fight, you know, going to his jeweler, picking up new rings, and he likes all these $1,000 shoes and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, more power to him. He made a lot of money last year, and you can spend it on whatever you like. But, of course, if he'd have won that fight in style, there's a fight with a style bender coming up pretty fucking quick. That's what's at stake here.
He's one fight away probably from a title shot.
Was.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, without a doubt, if he beat Derek Brunson, he was on a trajectory to a number one contender fight. And now he's sort of, and look, luckily he's a fan favorite. He does have a fun style. It's not just his shit talking and his antics. It's like a really fun style to watch. Very, very exciting, very sort of unpredictable. So I think that, you know, lends itself to being fan friendly. It's the opposite of Derek Brunson. It's kind of funny because the same frustration that you felt because he wasn't taking it super seriously. You know, I think people were sort of frustrated with Derek Brunson sort of taking it too seriously and too safe and playing it too safe. So it's almost like both of those approaches, you know, aren't effective, you know, in terms of gaining fans, I don't think. But
yeah,
I still think that Kevin Holland is in a very favorable position, even with that loss. It was a decision.
Well, Dana had some things to say afterwards. He thought that the pressure got to him in the moment, so he's never seen anything like that. The thing is for Derek Brunson, he is incredible. Fuck, I kept doing this on Saturday night. I keep getting their names wrong. Kevin and Derek. Yeah. Kevin and Derek. Do you know, I kept getting them mixed up, but I just did it then. No, so Kevin Holland is incredibly gifted, incredibly talented, and he's unorthodox, you know, and he does catch his opponents with weird things. He's actually got really good wrestling. He's got an 81-inch reach, and he's 6'3". So he's got a lot of natural gifts, and he's clearly got a tremendous gas tank because he never really seems to get tired. Even when he went 5 rounds, he never stopped yabbering and threw out 5 rounds. That's because he's in great condition, and he's got an excellent chin, as I told you. He took the best shots of Santos. Not a lot of people can do that. So he's got so much talent and so many natural gifts, but it's time now to switch on because it's now, you know, he could be a champion one day. He could at least earn a title shot to fight Stylebender, but he needs some decent fundamentals. He started off, with a Kung Fu style, and he said he loves Kung Fu. He said he'll always do Kung Fu, and that's great, but it's fucking useless inside an octagon. I'm just going to throw it out there, okay? So you need to focus on some fundamentals, and by that, I'm not saying fire your coaches, because your coaches obviously helped get you here to this day, but you need to add to that team. What he needed to do, I spoke to Dana afterwards. We were having a conversation about it. And I'm like, what he needs to do is lower your fucking base, pump that jab out and utilize a bit of footwork. What he was doing, he was running in to Brunson a lot of the time. He was like almost giving him the takedown. I'm not taking away from Brunson's takedown ability. Obviously, that played a huge factor as well. But he wasn't managing the distance. He would throw a punch and then kind of fall into the clinch. And you're falling into Brunson's favor there. That's exactly what he wants. He wants to close the distance and get hold of you. Holland needs to be maintaining separation. He needs to be using his footwork to stay away. And when Brunson tries to come in, pump the jab, then throw the right hand behind it on occasion and look for finishes that way. Not being like kind of erratic and kind of sloppy all over the place, you know? So I don't mean fire his coaches, but he needs to bring in somebody that can just refine his movement and his footwork and his boxing ability. If he does that and he switches on and takes it seriously, again, he can rebuild himself pretty quick.
This should be your first protege.
No way. He's not going to fucking listen to me. Fuck me. He wasn't listening to his coaches Saturday night. No. It's just because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Brunson as well, to be honest. You know, may the best man win. But it was because he didn't seem to care. You know what I mean? And I'm sure he does care. And I'm sure today when he watches that fight back, he'll be annoyed. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he will?
Yeah, I'm sure he will be. You know, he's going to be look back at the fight and, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But yeah, I think that, you know, it was frustrating. It was frustrating from the fans' perspective for sure, because, well, number one, it just wasn't super aesthetically pleasing, the exchanges. You know, once it was, hit the ground, he was sort of, I mean, it wasn't like Derek Brunson was doing a ton of damage on the ground. but yeah, you know, it was just, it was frustrating to watch. It was frustrating to not, you know, especially because I was sort of rooting for Kevin Holland.
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating. I mean, obviously, I have no skin in the game. I couldn't care who wins, but I am a fan, and I like the antics of Kevin Holland, and I really thought, and he still may have a tremendously bright future in the sport, but I really did think, wow, if he can win tonight, you know, and he beats a tough stylistic matchup like a good wrestler, then we could have, you know, a title challenger, potential future champ on our hands. And it wasn't so much that he got beat, it was so much that he didn't seem to care at the time. And maybe that's just a good poker face because he's hiding his emotion. But at the time, he seemed more interested in, and I say it with respect, like kind of being the class clown, if you will, getting a laugh out of people. You know, that's all well and good if you're kicking ass while you do it. But if you're getting your ass kicked, then it's time to drop the fucking class clown. As I say, I hope he doesn't see this and thinks I'm an asshole, because I'm just saying it for the best intentions and the best of reasons, you know?
I mean, also after that fight, you know, I think obviously he would need more work too. I think that Stylebender would give him real problems.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, look at what Stylebender did to Brunson. Yeah. First round knockout. And I think it was a devastating knockout. I think it was first round, but it was a bad knockout. He made short work of Derek Brunson. And that just shows you how great Izzy is, you know, simple as that.
And you sort of touched on it, you know, the Jacare knockout. You know, 99 out of 100 times that doesn't happen. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a freak accident. It just was like, you don't see that. We never, ever see those types of knockouts. And no offense to Kevin Holland, but it's not like he's this crazy knockout.
It's not like he knocked out Derek Brunson off his back on Saturday. He's like, oh, taking me down? That's fine. I have a technique for this. Bang, bang, bang. There you go. No, it was that Jacare fight was the perfect storm. And he took advantage of it perfectly. He executed perfectly, and good for him. Crazy knockout, excellent. But you can't rely on that fact that when you get taken down, you're going to fucking just punch them from your back.
Yeah, it's the exception, not the rule. I don't think that, you know, they fight 1,000 times that it ever goes down that way again. I'm not saying that Kevin Holland would lose. I'm just saying that knockout's not happening that way. So I think in that this was definitely a larger jump up. I think because of the Jacare knockout, this didn't seem as an extreme of a jump up in competition as it was. But I think that, Derek Brunson, you know, look, he's almost like the dark horse of the division. I think dark horse is a better term than gatekeeper. It's like the same thing. That's really what it is.
Well,
but
yeah, you're right. I mean, because everything we're saying right now, I'm just trying to look for the rankings, because no doubt in a moment we'll talk about who they should fight next. Here it is, rankings. Yeah, it sounds like we're taking away from Derek Brunson at the weekend. Brunson was great. Brunson was really good. He I'm sure that's how they trained for this fight. He's a big, tall, lankier guy that doesn't have a wrestling background. He's a wrestler. He was an All-American, I think. What is he going to do? Well, he's going to wrestle him. He's going to take him down. He's going to hold him down. That was the plan, and that's what they did. So you can't take away from Brunson. Went out there against a tough opponent who won 5 fights last year, and he got the job done in style. And didn't really
stopped the takedown. You cannot blame the guy for using his attributes to his advantage. It's crazy. You know, it's a weird thing. Look, it's just you don't see it as much anymore. The lay and pray style, quote unquote, you know, getting on top and sort of grinding out. You just don't see it as. It's kind of interesting that we don't see it as much anymore. I think guys have just figured out how to get back up.
Well, because it's pretty easy to get back to you. Well, it's not easy, but there's ways to do it. There's set ways to do it that I used to drill over and over and over again. And
early on one of the guys that they would talk about how good you were at getting back up to your feet.
Because I knew I was fighting in America against Americans that wrestled, and I knew that's what they were going to do. And of course they're going to do that because they want to win the fight, and that's how you beat somebody that doesn't have a wrestling background. So I would start a lot of my camps on my back, and I had to get back to my feet. And, you know, maybe I'll show it on a video one day or something, but there's so many ways. One way that doesn't exist, though, is doing a fucking body triangle off your back. All you're doing is holding them on top of you.
And flirting with Khabib.
You can't do anything for yourself, and they can't do much, and you can't do much. You're just going to stay on the floor. That's all that's going to happen. You know, it's funny. Here's a funny little story for you. Saturday night when Derek Brunson was walking in, obviously as commentators, it's our job to bring them up and talk about their history, if you will, as a fighter. And in the Octagon, I said, sorry, when Brunson was walking to the Octagon, I said, you know, Brunson had some fantastic performances, and he's also been inconsistent at times. He's lost some fights, but he's also delivered great knockouts. I mean, he knocked out Lyoto Machida, he knocked out Uriah Hall, and blah, 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 blah. Right? I'm just doing my job. I get back home Saturday night, and I just walk in, and I just like quickly sit, just relax a minute. I just fucking look on Twitter, and there's Uriah Hall at Bisping. He didn't knock me out, you dick. Right?
Ooh.
Yeah, just go to my Twitter, Brian, if you can't bring it up, because it was nice. Awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah, so, dude. Get your facts right. Be a professional, Bisping. Why are you disrespecting the great Uriah Hall?
What are you talking about? He did get knocked out.
Oh, he did?
in round fucking one. In round one. So hold on. Here's my response.
He knocked him out so bad that he forgot that he got knocked out.
He tried to fucking single leg Herb Dean. He definitely got, well, okay, here's the thing. It was listed on, hold on. It was listed as a TKO. Can you see that? Hold on, wait.
Right. I can't see it.
Whatever, it's bad. It was listed as a TKO. So, you know, but TKO, KO, it's all the same thing. I'm pretty sure the KO and TKO or KO both stand for the same thing, which is knockout.
It wasn't a knockout. It was technically a knockout.
Yeah, it was technically a knockout. Sorry, but that's a knockout.
That actually seems worse, to be honest.
Yeah, it was to the point where the referee was like, whoa, this has got to be stopped. What are you showing me there? That's the, I don't know what that is. Anyway, a bit of an overreaction, wouldn't you say? But yeah, you got to click on the picture, I think. But anyway, he did, and then he came back again, and he was talking a lot of shit, and I don't know what he said last night. Last night he said, words, player, just words, right? And then I was like, so I was looking through the responses, and then people went, oh, I see you deleted the tweet, Uriah. That sounded like a threat to me. So I think he was talking some shit on Twitter. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to, at that moment in time when I'm saying that he knocked out Machida and he knocked out Uriah Hall, I'm not trying to throw shade on Machida and Uriah Hall. I'm talking about the fighter in question walking to the octagon.
And you're also, to be honest with you, if Uriah Hall wasn't so insecure, because he's going to hear this, they always do. If he wasn't so insecure, he would actually read into it what it really is, which is a compliment for the level of guys that he's able to take out. A fighter right now, you're talking about, you're like, look, he knocked out Machida, he knocked out Uriah Hall, meaning that those are elite. Those are high-level guys. You're not listing bums.
That was the point, exactly. You're right, I wasn't listing bums. I was listing Lyoto Machida, who was a champion, and I listed Uriah Hall, who just knocked out Anderson Silva. He's a very, very talented fighter. So that isn't what we're trying to do there as commentators. But anyway, I had a bit of a laugh, because you got to see this. Hold on. Please, go to my Twitter. There's a picture. Hold on. Where is it? Because there's a picture of him. Somebody put this on. And on the picture of him actually getting knocked out, when he's on the floor and Big John or whoever it was, Herb Dean is coming in and waving off the fight. In the other corner of the screen, there's a promo of my fight, a world title fight. So I'm on the screen with the championship belt on my shoulder as he's getting knocked out. And I was like, oh my God, I wanted to retweet it so bad. But I thought, nah, I don't want to stir them.
Yeah, exactly. Just talk about it in your podcast.
Anyway, no, listen, Uriah, I wasn't talking shit, buddy. Come on, man. Come on. Wish you the best.
We've always been very complimentary of Uriah Hall on this show.
Well, I don't think we have been uncomplimentary. So anyway, Kevin Holland, back to the drawing board, unfortunately. Now, with 5 wins last year, you know, he just needs to, you know, work on his wrestling defense a bit and work on, I would say, the mental approach. The physicality is all there. The mental approach may be a little bit wrong. For Brunson, I mean, I'm looking at the top 10 here. Adesanya, Whitaker's booked, Costa, he just fell out. Jared Cannonier, Darren Till, Marvin Vettori, Jack Hermanson. He called out Paulo Costa, and I actually think that's a really good matchup because Costa's number two. He just pulled out of the Whitaker fight. He needs a little bit of time. That'd be a really, really good matchup for Derek Brunson, because if he can beat Costa, that'd be 5 in a row and just beat number two. So that'd be a title fight next.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, smart move. And I want to see that fight.
That'd be a good fight. I just want to see Costa back in the octagon. I do, to be honest. He's always a lot of fun to watch. I mean, that fight with Yoel Romero in 2019, that was a sick fight. Remember?
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. My mind just started wandering for a second because, like, wait, who's Whitaker fighting now? Whitaker's fighting Gastelum. Sorry.
Yes. April 17th, I believe. But yeah, okay. We'll go down the card.
Is it crazy that I always look at that as a welterweight fight? Like, in my head, I just think of it as a welterweight fight. I can't get past it.
We were both welterweights at one stage, so, yeah. You know, it is what it is. Co-main event was Song Yadong. He got clipped off Max Griffin, right hand. And not much to talk about there. Well done for Max Griffin. Excellent performance. Back to the drawing board for Song Yadong. What I do want to talk about, though, is Harrington here, by the way? I was expecting Harrington to jump in at some point with his finger in the air. And there is the finger in the air. Harrington, what say you? Can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Harrington, turn your microphone off more.
Shoot. Okay, that's on me. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, it's definitely not on me.
Hand up on me. Okay, so the
I'm going to blame the horse.
Before you get too far from the main event, I did want to just touch on this because I don't think you guys did. Him talking to Khabib in between rounds 2 and 3, then he goes out there in the 5th round, first guy ever in Derek Brunson's whole career to take Derek Brunson down. Derek Brunson had 100% takedown defense rate. Did Khabib have anything to do with that?
No, he didn't. And how foolish of you to even suggest that. He did say, Brunson said, it's my, I'm going to take him down. He's going around. He's got 100% takedown defense. He's never taken in. He's never been taken down. I'm going to do that. And he did take him down. Khabib didn't give him any advice. Do you know what I mean? They were talking back and forth. Khabib said something, you need to move. You need to move, brother, or something like that. But he wasn't giving technical wrestling advice. Dana and Khabib were both laughing. I got to say, towards the end, though, the laughs stopped. There was no more laughing from that table as the fight was progressing. That's all I'm saying.
And what did he took him down in the 4th round?
5th round.
Fifth round.
I mean, look, at that point, Brunson's just like, whatever, dude. I'm winning this fight easily. I'm not expecting any offense. So, he
caught. But, all right. Grant Dawson taking on Leonardo Santos. I want to talk about this because it was pretty epic, to be honest. Leonardo Santos, I know you're probably not too familiar. He's fucking good. I think he'd been unbeaten in 9 fights, I think, in the UFC, 8 or 9, 1 draw. Very, very good jiu-jitsu, high-level jiu-jitsu guy, good striker, as we saw Saturday night. Grant Dawson moving up from 145 to 55 for the first time, and he's just ragdolled everybody. And I thought Grant Dawson was going to have his way throughout the entire fight. I thought, wow, he's going to do really good in this fight. But Leonardo Santos was kicking his ass, right, routinely. It got him down a few times, held some good positions. He was out striking him. It was a tough, tough night for Grant Dawson. But, and we saw this earlier in the night as well, Santos went for a heel hook. He went for a leg lock. Why shouldn't you go for a leg lock from underneath, Lewis? Tell me why.
Because it puts you in an unfavorable position.
Puts you in a bad position.
Yeah.
Because you can't defend yourself. You cannot defend. I mean, look at those hammer fists. They were fucking hard. Yeah, so at 4 minutes 59 of round 3, yeah, 1 second left in the fight, and he was winning the fight handily. He was definitely going to win the fight. Look at that. And let me tell you, he was unconscious for a while, man. He was asleep for a bit. It was a bad knockout, yeah. Because when you're going for leg locks, heel hooks, knee bars, whatever, you got 2 hands on the leg, and you got nothing defending your face. I mean, classic example going back in time, Ian Freeman versus Frank Mir, UFC 38, the brawl in the hall. Frank Mir going for a knee bar or something similar like that, and Ian Freeman just pounded him out, So very, very dangerous, but that was so good for Grant Dawson. I mean, talk about taking advantage of a situation.
Yeah, pretty brutal. Was that on the undercard?
No, main card, like mid-card. I believe is the official term.
I don't know why this is. When did this happen? I don't remember.
Saturday night.
I watched the fights with my child.
The Kevin Brunson, Kevin Holland versus Derek Brunson card.
I watched the entire card with my kid, and now I'm trying to remember why I'm blanking on this fight.
Well, Harrington, can we talk about the fights?
Please, you can. Harrington, please chime in.
I think that was. I hate to be this guy. It 100% was on the undercard, Mike.
Was it?
Hunsucker was.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to say it. Just say it, Mike. Was it on the prelims? All right, whatever.
Wow.
Prelims, main card. We're still talking about the fight. It still fucking happened.
That was great that I was able to butt fuck you in front of the entire audience.
I wouldn't say you butt fucked me. You're the one, you butt fuck yourself every day with your ignorance of the thing that we're talking about, buddies. Oh, I said main card instead of prelims. Fucking hell, Harrison.
Well, no, I knew I was I was like going, am I crazy? Because I watched the entire main card and I was like, I just don't remember this fight happening.
Right, right. Well, anyway, what's his face? Graham Dawson. I mean, fuck me. Because I thought he was lost that fight. I mean, that was a 30-27, I would say, for Santos until that last second. Last fucking second. I mean, they were heavy hammer fists. Did you watch it, Harrington? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I watched it back. The more than anything for me, it's just that Dawson's now on, what, a 5-fight win streak since winning on The Ultimate Fighter. And it's like, how stacked is lightweight right now? Where you got a guy who is, you know, hadn't had a loss in 6 or 7 fights fighting a guy who's now on a 5-fight win streak. And neither one of them is even close to being ranked. It's so stacked at lightweight right now.
5-fight win streak in the UFC is?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's great, but he was, I don't know, how do you look at that fight? Do you know, do you think, wow, Grant Dawson's awesome? Or do you think, wow, he was getting his ass kicked, he's got work to do, or he just pulled out a Hail Mary thing at the last second? You know, and there's two ways of looking at it.
Well, so yeah. I looked at like the Paul Craig fight, right? If you remember Paul Craig, I think it was Magomed Ankalaev, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
triangle at the same time, 4:59, third round.
Right. So like that to me didn't take anything away from Paul Craig. That just told me Paul Craig is dangerous until that final bell sounds. And I think the same applies to Grant Dawson.
Oh, absolutely. He's incredibly dangerous. I was just asking the question. I was just curious to say, Lewis, you were going to say something.
Well, yeah, I think I sort of take the other opinion on that. I think that you're showing major holes in your game if you're losing an entire fight the entire time and you pull out a Hail Mary at the end, which, you know, honestly, it was based, you know, it was off a mistake. You know, he shouldn't have been going for a heel hook at that point in the fight with literally the last seconds of the round. It was just leaving yourself open for no reason. All right, Mike, real quick, we should thank Paleo Valley for supporting today's show. I love my Paleo Valley beef jerky sticks. I love beef jerky in general. I eat beef jerky all the time, especially we've been talking earlier on today. Beef jerky. We were talking earlier today about, you know, having a keto diet.
Name the movie, Beef Jerky. Beef jerky.
I have no idea.
Beef jerky.
What is it?
It's Trading Places at the end on the train when Dan Aykroyd, rather untasteful these days, put Black's face on and he's beef jerky. I think. Maybe not. Okay,
maybe
never not. Mind.
Maybe that was moving just in your on. Head. Maybe that's what's going on in Michael Bisping's dreams.
Beef jerky! Well, listen, let me tell you, if that guy was on board with what was good fucking beef jerky, he'd be on the Paleo Valley beef sticks. Listen, they're completely natural. When you go to the gas station or anywhere like that, they're full of chemicals, let's be honest. It's not good for you. This is, obviously, Lewis is now on a keto. He's joined me 2 weeks later. We started 2 weeks ago, but it's fine. These are perfect for that. But let me tell you one thing, that because we've talked about these for a few weeks now, it's the taste as well. I never mentioned how good these things taste. They're absolutely fantastic. Quick, cheap, convenient snack, Lewis. You know, so you got no excuse for being a fat bastard.
Grass-fed beef, which is really, really important, okay? It contains more calcium, magnesium, potassium, zinc, phosphorus, beta-carotene, and iron than grain-fed beef. That's a big deal. What you put into your body, let me tell you something. They say you are what you eat, and you want to be Paleo Valley.
Listen, Lewis, let me ask you this. How many hormones are in the Paleo Valley beef steaks?
In Paleo Valley, probably 5, 6, 7.
No, none. Zero.
No way. Get out of town.
Guess how much MSG, monosodium glutamate, are in the Paleo Valley beef steaks?
Yeah, I'd say 15 grams.
Zero. Again.
Get the fuck out of town.
Guess how much mechanically separated chicken are in the beef steaks?
That actually sounds kind of cool, so I'm hoping there's at least a little bit.
Well, I'm sorry, it's just 100% grass-fed beef, no chicken, shit. Okay? And lastly but not least, we're all forgetting about the brominated vegetable oil. I mean, come on, that was first patented as a flame retardant. Guess what? None of that. But if you go look at some of your big brand jerky, you will find all of those ingredients in there, and they don't taste as good. That's the big one here. Some people aren't bothered about putting lots of chemicals in their body. They want cheap, convenient, and they want it tasty. These taste amazing.
This tastes incredible. It's all natural. It really is a better treat. You get it delivered right to your door, which is incredible. It's super convenient. Great for the kids. Great for grandma. Great for yourself. All you got to do right now is go to paleovalley.com, PaleoValley.com, and enter the promo code BELIEVE15. You're going to save 15% off your first order right now. Go there, paleovalley.com. BELIEVE15 is that promo code. Grab some beef sticks. Get some healthy treats in you.
Right.
Where were we?
Can you hear that? Hold on.
Barely.
Just give me a second. It's been going on for ages.
You know, we'll do plugs. Go beat the dogs.
You do plugs. 1 second.
Go beat the dogs. He's going to fucking kill this dog. So real quick, if you love the show, go to our iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We love the great reviews. We're available anywhere you can find a podcast. Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, literally anywhere. Also on YouTube, if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, hit the notification button. You get a notification every time we have a brand new episode that drops. And that is typically on Mondays and Thursdays. Is right around midnight Eastern. If you guys want access to the complete on-demand library, you can get every episode of Believe You Me at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial.
Yes. Yeah, so we mentioned, or Harrington did a second ago, the lightweight division. Obviously, we had big news in the lightweight division last week, looks like. And of course, in the featherweight division. In fact, let's talk about that first. The featherweight division, Volkanovski taking on Brian Ortega. That's been canceled. Volkanovski got COVID.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he got it in Vegas.
Yeah. So Harrington, can you just come on here a second? Because in the notes, he goes, potential delicate subject. Okay. Right. It's not a potential delicate subject. Go on. Explain.
So, a lot of the MMA media has been talking this week about the difference between the bubble situation in Las Vegas at the UFC Apex and what they have on Fight Island, right? So we have a situation where Volkanovski, he tested negative in Australia. He tested negative when he landed in Las Vegas. And since entering the quote-unquote bubble in Vegas, he has come down with COVID-19. So, people are questioning, what kind of protocols they're using in Las Vegas that they aren't doing in Las Vegas that they are doing in Abu Dhabi, where we haven't had that happen yet. No fighter has they're clean and then gotten COVID.
Yeah, but that's not the situation at all. And if you know Brad Riddell, he was supposed to fight Saturday night. He was supposed to be in the co-main event against Gregor Gillespie, who incidentally is a teammate of Volkanovski and Adesanya at City Kickboxing. And he's got it as well. So I think there's been an outbreak between that camp. So I don't think it's anything. I mean, of course, journalists are going to do that. That's what they do. They speculate, But I can tell you right now, the bubble that they call it, is very, very strict at the hotel. You can't get on and off without showing security, showing your ID, your credential, everything. Trust me, it's very, very fucking hard. I've been challenged very, very strongly by those people just trying to leave. I'm like, I'm not a fighter. I'm a commentator and I'm not even staying at this hotel. I'm like, where are you going? I'm like, well, that's none of your business. You're not a police officer. It's like, you have to tell us where you are leaving or otherwise you can't leave. I said, well, I'm going to a hotel. I'm not staying at this hotel. I wasn't working for the UFC on that occasion. But the conditions are very, very strict. I think what it is more a case of what either a corner man or someone like that unfortunately got infected and has done the old pass around.
Do you notice a difference between Abu Dhabi and the restrictions and how strict they are versus going to Vegas and working?
When I was on Abu Dhabi, when I was on Fight Island, pardon me, on Abu Dhabi, sounds weird. When I was on Fight Island, I never really, because you're in an enclosed zone there. You walk out of your hotel, it's hot as fuck, it's like 100 degrees. I turn around and walk right back in. Do you know what I mean? I knew we couldn't go out of like the little designated zone. I didn't want to go to the beach. People would go, yeah, hold on, what are they talking about? People go to the beach and all kinds of shit in Abu Dhabi. But I didn't want to go to the beach. I didn't want to hang out. I'm a miserable old bastard. I'll just sit in my bedroom with the air conditioning on and have some food. The conditions are about the same. I think what it is there's that period, isn't there? I don't know, 14 days, whatever it is for COVID to show up in your system, maybe. Something like that. But people are always trying to put down the UFC, slagging off the fucking bubble in Vegas. It's nothing to do with that. Unfortunately, there's a fucking pandemic and people are getting sick. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's a shame for Volkanovski, though, because think about this.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say, it's not like... Sorry.
Wow, I was going to say, look at Dan Hooker. Remember what Dan Hooker went through? Mm. He fucking went to Fight Island, unfortunately lost the fight in the first round, and then didn't see his family for 6 weeks. Because of the quarantine situation in New Zealand. Well, now you got Volkanovski, and Brad Riddell. They've flown out here from New Zealand. I don't know if Volkanovski did, because I know he's based in Australia. So whatever, Australia, New Zealand, it's still a long way. They've came all this way, and now they've got COVID. I don't know if they're going to be able to fight. I know they're going to rebook the Volkanovski one, but when? I don't know. But then when he goes back, he might have to do an extra long time in quarantine, and he didn't even get to fight.
Yeah, that sucks. That really sucks. It really sucks for Volkanovski. I was excited to watch him fight. I'm a big Volkanovski fan. You know, that is just like, oh, what do you do? You know, there's just no way around it. You just have to take the test. And, you know, look, people like to talk shit. The MMA media specifically, they have to write shit.
I have
the
one
right
at
provocative
my house right
shit.
Now. Oh, I have an MMA media member at my house. Just walked in. It's supposed to be at 4 o'clock. Who gets here at 3.
Well,
okay.
Now he waits.
Mike Bone, MMA junkie or MMA fighting or one
Can
of them.
Can you make him, make him come on right now and explain himself?
No.
An hour early.
Should we do that?
Yeah. Get him to come on.
Yes. Harrington, get some questions ready. Oh, Wrigley. Bring Mike Bone here.
We have a bone to pick.
Yeah. Howie, just look up. Which website does he work for? Get Mike Bone. Mike Bone.
Right here.
Get here, Mike. We said 4 p.m. Dickhead Rick Lee walks you in at 3. Come over here, pull up a chair, explain yourself on my podcast. Come on, slide over the chair. And Lewis and Harrington, get some hard-hitting questions, quick.
USA Today, MMA junkie, the great Mike Bone.
There you go. Oh, shit. Normally, it's me and my wife doing this. So.
We have a very professional setup, Mike Bone.
What's up, Lewis?
Squeeze in a bit. Come on, you're like my wife. No. The chair is facing the wrong way. What are you doing?
He's sitting on it like AC Slater.
Head falling off. Yeah, see, that's good. There he is. This is Mike Bone. Who do you work for again?
MMA junkie.
Why are you at my house?
I'm in California, a rare trip out here. So I figured I'd hit up the man and see if we could have a chat.
You are an hour early.
That's Rick Lee's fault.
Rick always comes early and annoys everybody. Now you've got awkwardness out there. Now I have a family. I have children. I have a wife. I have dogs that are barking nonstop because of this
guy.
The
dogs
guy.
Are cute, though. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. So, Lewis Harrington, any questions for Mike Bone?
Wait, hold on. As MMA junkie, don't you hate them?
No, that's Sherdog.
No.
We've probably had our issues over the years.
It's Sherdog. I hate Sherdog. They did an article recently, didn't they, talking shit about me. But anyway.
No, it was MMA Mania you hated.
No, it's because you kept talking about MMA Mania. I'm like, okay, let's stop giving them free plugs. Mike Bone's here. Ask him a question. Harrington, ask Mike Bone a question. Somebody ask Mike Bone a question.
Hey, Mike, how do you feel about asking fighters questions? What am I supposed to do? He's interviewing you.
Yeah, I know, but he's early and he's interrupting our podcast. Harrington, go ahead.
Mike Bone, you just posted on your Twitter today that you were at King's MMA. You said you got something cool coming to MMA Junkie. Was that Kelvin Gastelum in the foreground, A? And B, what's going on at King's MMA right now?
God, Harrington's such a suck-up dork.
Wow, what a dick question. That is not the type of thing we meant. We meant abuse. Give him a hard time. Find some kind of scum. Find some dirt on the guy that we can bring up. But you ask him, Earl, tell us about your experience down at King's MMA. How's Kelvin Gastelum looking? You can go watch fucking Weighing In if you want shit like that. Harrington, ask another question. Redeem yourself.
Golly, this is rough. Okay,
okay.
What is Max Holloway going to do now that the belt is held up even longer with Ortega versus Volkanovski being?
God, you stink, Harrington.
Oh my God,
that's a good question.
It's a terrible question.
I think he's probably going to continue to wait. Hopefully, we can get this fight with Volkanovski and Ortega rebooked ASAP, and they don't have to push it back 2-3 months. But we don't really know. I mean, I imagine Volkanovski is not going to want to make this trip out here wasted. So I'm curious to see if they end up sticking around and rebooking this pretty soon.
It's a great answer. I've got a question.
Yeah.
All right. In this modern day of recording and all these types of video production, you guys all want to be TV stars these days. Because every time I go to the website, it's never written articles. It's always video of them. And it's like, oh, God. Because sometimes I want to copy and paste some of the stuff that you say from the fires right. And put it into my notes for when I'm commentating. And I can't do that when it's a video. I have to watch the whole fucking 10 minutes of dribble to get a little fucking quote. Why do you do that, Mike Bone?
Well, video, as I'm sure you guys know, is what pays the bills more so than...
Adverts every 2 fucking seconds. I don't want to see them.
I know, it's understandable. I mean, I think you try to find the happy balance. I think when there's, we get such a large amount of content coming in, they do a UFC media day.
One second. Lucy's got a question.
Stopped him from answering. All right. So besides Michael Bisping, who is the biggest asshole in the sport of mixed martial arts?
Oh, wow. I mean,
yeah, who's the biggest asshole in the sport besides me?
Go besides on. You, I was going to say, it's kind of, you know,
that's an so easy question with Michael Bisping.
Well, but to be honest, who's the biggest asshole?
Ooh, I mean, are we talking just in general fighters or anyone in the entire
We're saying
industry?
personal Ooh. Experience that you've dealt with in the sport of mixed martial arts.
Are we talking fighters or entire industry? I want to hear the entire industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can be talking about other media. We can be talking about.
Give me a name.
He's going to give us another fucking media member we've never heard of. Like, this guy's a real dick.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to do that, but now I'm not going to.
I've got a question. How do you feel, John Morgan, MMA junkie? He gets the first question every time. He's always got a blue shirt on. One day, when are you going to get the first question, Mike Bone?
Well, when I'm there. If I'm there,
you will never get the first question.
As long as we're covering events together, we defer the first question to John. I think he's been doing this, you know, three times longer than me. So
he's the senior. Respect. He's the senior guy, MMA junkie.
It would be like you fighting a UFC newcomer and them making you walk out first.
Ah, he pays respect, Lewis. Something you might want to learn
good answer.
About.
Very good answer. Good answer. I still want to know who's the biggest asshole in the sport of mixed martial arts.
Lead into the microphone.
It's hard to say, man. I mean, I don't want to be too harsh to anyone. I mean, should we just stick with Bisping here?
Look at this. They won't give a name to these journalists. You know,
Name names. I mean, I know you guys are trying to, you know, get the ratings here and everything, but I don't
want
to.
We're not getting the ratings.
You're going to flip the script, and now Bisbing's going to make me the headline saying Mike Bond thinks this person is the biggest jerk off in the sport. Yes, the clickbait.
Yeah, get out of here. Mike Bond, you're worse than Rebecca. Come on.
Thank you for having
me. We'll be with you shortly. Yeah. All right,
go ride the horse.
And there he is, the great Mike Bowe from MMA fighting.
MMA junkie.
I said that on purpose. Okay, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, just invading my house an hour early, like they always do. Should we talk about this lightweight title picture?
Let's talk about it. It's actually really interesting because we were on the show last week and we talked about the prospective fight between Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler. We spent a good 15 minutes, I would say, breaking down what an amazing fight that was going to be. And basically the second we stopped recording, the news broke that Michael Chandler is fighting
Charles Oliveira.
Charles Oliveira.
Cowboy. Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy for Charles Oliveira. There's a guy.
DuBronx.
Yeah, there's a guy that deserves it. I think he's on an 8-5 win streak. Of course, last one was a total domination of Tony Ferguson. He deserves it, right? I know a lot of people would say Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor should be, you know, but that's a big, big money fight. It was already announced. There wasn't a title on the line. Might look a little weird if they just attach a title to it. So now they get two big fights now because that fight's going to happen. That's going to do mega, mega numbers. The title fight, you stick a belt to it, you know, that increases the abilities of, and then whoever wins that Dustin and Conor fight, they're going to get the next title shot anyway.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, if you are Dustin Poirier, aren't you sort of like, oh, okay.
No. You know, at this point, he's making a lot of money.
So also, if you consider yourself the absolute best in the world, you're like, dude, fuck it. I'll make a few million dollars on this Conor McGregor fight, get that number one title contender, and then go and fight either one of these guys and fucking beat them and become the champion of the world. So Dustin's path, you know, it's the highest. It's risk reward, right? It's a very high reward, but it's also risky. If he loses to Conor, that's it.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like he had a say in the matter. You're making it sound like they went to him and said, hey, do you want to do away with the Conor fight and take on Charles Oliveira or Chandler? That wasn't the situation. Khabib solidified his retirement. Dana accepted it. And they said, okay, well, the lightweight title is available. Let's give it to Chandler and Oliveira. Chandler, you know, whilst Oliveira certainly deserves it. I don't know if Chandler does or not, but I'm going to contradict myself. Coming from Bellator, and he was the champion there, I believe, came over, knocked out Hooker. It is what it is. It's kind of the perfect storm. The way Kevin Holland knocked out Jacare was the perfect storm. All the pieces just fell into place. Same thing for Chandler, you know, because Gaethje, last time we saw him, he got beat badly. I don't think he should fight for a title coming off a loss. Chandler's coming off an impressive loss and Oliveira on a 7 or 8 fight win streak. So it makes sense.
I think it makes sense, yes, to a certain degree. I mean, no, not really for Chandler. The logic is not, you know, it's definitely sound, but I think what they could have done, it should have been almost like a title eliminator with the four of them. you know, Conor versus Dustin, and then Oliveira and Chandler fighting. I don't know if they could even do this, but do almost like doing like interim titles for both of them, and then having the two winners fight for the actual undisputed title.
But again, you're just stalling it. You know what I mean? They want to, you know.
Yeah, what the hurry, though?
Well, a champ needs to be crowned. Let's crown a champion. And then whoever fights next is the title defense or a loss if he loses. And as I say, you shouldn't get to fight for a title, even though it has happened on occasion. But remember, Conor lost that last fight. He got knocked out. So they're not going to do a rematch and stick a title on it, because it doesn't water it down, but it weakens it a little bit. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, good. Well, I was going to say,
you're good.
The reality is, like, you know, it's the X factor here is Dustin already had the fight against Conor booked. Dustin versus Charles Oliveira was the fight to make for the lightweight title. But since it was booked, you know, I'm assuming Dustin doesn't have any real problems with it. Or if he did, there's no going back on it. I guess if the contracts are signed, but he could have started making some more noise about how he felt as if he was, you know,
I'm sure Dustin's very happy with the situation because he's pretty confident. I'm assuming that he's going to get the same result, right? Why wouldn't he think that? And then he gets to get the big fuck off payday for fighting Conor McGregor again. And I think it's going to be more than a few million, if what I'm hearing is correct. Mm-hmm. There's a big, big fucking number is what I'm hearing. So good for him. Good for them both. Going to make a ton of money. And then whoever wins gets a title fight immediately after it. So they get the massive payday and then they get the perfect prize afterwards. They get a title fight.
Yeah. And honestly, it's two incredible fights, like two really great fights that are very exciting to watch. Justin Gaethje is sort of the odd man out right now. Now, if you're Justin Gaethje, you know, you're sort of in a weird position because his last fight was for the title. You know, that says something. They sort of put you in a, especially when the guy who beat you retires, you know, by all logic, you're the next best guy in the division, right? Even though the guy who just was unbeatable, he beat you, he retired, but sort of that is a wash because he's gone now. You sort of have claim to being the best guy in the division. You just lost to that guy. Justin Gaethje is sort of sitting in a weird position because he's not even in the conversation right now when we're talking about the lightweight title picture.
Yeah, that is weird. And it is a good point that you raised. But the fact is, he did get beaten. He got submitted in the second round, right? So it's you know, again, for the public, if I'm the UFC, I'm not sure I give it to Gaethje. You know what I'm saying? Because, okay, through default, he's now back in action because the champ retired. There's other people that are coming off wins that are around the same place. Of course, I think Gaethje is still number two. So, yes, but he just got choked out. What he's going to do is going to get back into the win column. You know what I mean? So I think he needs another win. I think that's why they've gone with Oliveira. Obviously, he's got the body of work.
Or Chandler over Gaethje. Really, that's because it's not a debate, in my opinion, for Oliveira. The debate was really for Chandler.
Yeah. Well, saying that, Gaethje was supposed to be fighting Chandler. Yeah. He found out he was actually training to fight Michael Chandler, and I think he might have found out. I know it is fucked up for Gaethje, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? Gaethje doesn't seem too bothered. You know, he's just going to go away, win another fight, and they'll get a shot, you know?
He's not in a terrible position. He's actually in a really good position, a way better position now that Khabib's out of the picture. If Khabib was still the champion, Justin Gaethje would have a much tougher path to get a title shot. Justin Gaethje is a fan favorite. He has a really exciting style. Honestly, he matches up well against anybody that we're discussing right now.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, maybe he's being left out a little bit, but he's just got to wait for the smoke to clear. Do you think he should take a fight, or do you think he should wait to fight one of these guys that either wins or loses in this?
He has to take a fight. As I said, you shouldn't get a fight coming off a loss. Certainly a stoppage where you got put to sleep.
Not saying that he's going to get a title shot. What I'm saying is, should he fight maybe one of the losers of this four-way dance that we're seeing between...
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Unless there's somebody else applicable. But still, let's move on because we're talking about Justin Gaethje, who doesn't have a fight lined up and what he should do next. And he's not in the discussion because he doesn't have a fight lined up and he's not fighting for the title. So sorry about that, Justin, but that's just the facts. All right, let's just take a quick second to hear from Hemp Fusion. Hemp Fusion have been supporting this podcast for a while, and I'm going to tell you all about them. If you go to hempfusion.com, that's the website. They've got a lot of CBD products on there and wellness products as well. One of the things that they really want us to tell you about is the sleep support, which blends CBD, 10 milligrams of it, with terpenes, omegas, GABA, black pepper, and clove oil. And together, they unleash the entourage effect, working together to deliver powerful benefits. My God, I can't sleep. If only I'd taken my sleep support report last night. I would have had a good night's sleep. Just kidding. I just stutter all the time. So whether you're up late with kids, pets, or existential dread like Lewis, you can get sleep support and get the rest that you need to handle anything that comes your way, Lewis.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, when I stopped drinking, I was having trouble sleeping at first. And Hemp Fusion Sleep Support is what I give all the credit in the world to for helping me get back to sleep. I've been talking about CBD forever, for a few years now, the different benefits. My anxiety, boom, taken out completely. But for the sleep support, it really is an incredible product that I personally can tell you that I use.
Yes, and if you're already sleeping well, guess what? If you're a stressy bastard, like I can be sometimes, and no. Lewis, they have the stress support, which blends ashwagandha with CBD. They've got the energy one. I forget what's in that right now. Obviously, you know the deal with CBD. Nothing to do with getting high. Just gets you back in homeostasis, gets everything feeling right and better. Go to the website. As I said, all kinds of CBD and wellness products. There really is something for everybody on there.
Go right now to hempfusion.com, HEMPFUSION.com, and use the promo code COUNT for 25% off your purchase. Bow, 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 bow.
25. Holy
shit. 25%.
I mean, listen, there's offers, but that's a really good offer. 25%. As I say, go to the website. There is a lot of stuff on there. There's a tremendous amount of products. Everything's completely natural. A lot of companies say they are, but they don't really mean it. They always find a way to slice some chemicals in there. Everything at Hemp Fusion is 100% natural. HempFusion.com. Count is the promo code. You're going to get 25% off. Okay, where were we? I do want to talk about this. Obviously, UFC 260 happening in the weekend. We'll talk about that on Thursday. But yeah, massive fight. Stipe Miocic, Francis Ngannou. Very excited. But I do want to talk about another title fight that's happening. A title fight that isn't happening, pardon me. But Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman don't like each other, as we know. Colby Covington doesn't seem to have many friends in the welterweight division. But Kamaru Usman, this made some headlines last week. And I just thought it was funny. I just thought me and you could have a funny discussion with it. He's tracked down Colby's sister on Instagram and he's liking all of her shit now and stuff. So can we bring some of those examples up? Can we bring up some pictures of Colby's sister?
Colby's sister, wow.
Yeah, because...
is this crossing a line right now? I don't even know if I'm comfortable doing this.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, when do you overstep the mark with trash talk? You know what I'm saying? Because is that overstepping the mark, getting personal, going out there, sourcing his sister, liking things? Or is he just, that's Instagram, that's what you can do. It's fair game.
Well, I feel if she's putting the pictures out there to be liked, that's not crossing a line. It's not like he's saying anything really inappropriate. He's liking some photos.
Harrington says that he is following her now thanks to Usman. Let's take a look.
Let's see. Can you make it bigger? The screen is very small on my screen, so I can't see anything we're seeing.
Yeah. This is a good shot. Keep going. Scroll on, scroll on, scroll on. Just go back to the other one because there was like six on the screen then, and now we've got one.
She's pretty hot.
There's bad scrolling, Brian.
She's cute.
Yeah. But still, so Usman's going on there liking all this shit, you know. I don't know who spotted this because I saw it on a number of MMA outlets. I mean, to be fair, you can just go on there and follow anybody you like. Do you think he's actually trying to wind up Covington? I think
Yeah, for sure. Obviously. He probably called the MMA publications or had his agent or manager call the MMA publications to point it out and plant that seed, which is fine. You know, look, Usman, I respect it because Usman's not a major trash talker. That doesn't seem to really be his style. But I like the antics. I like the fact that he recognizes that you have to start talking a little bit of shit, setting up future fights. You know, the Covington fight isn't even on the horizon right now. Covington, you know, already lost that fight to him. Doesn't really need to be talking shit and setting up another fight down the line. But hey, who knows? It could happen again.
Covington's going to be pissed. I'll tell you that right now, because that's his sister, right? Probably his little sister. I don't know. Maybe his older sister. I'm going to go with little sister. That's his little sister. It's his job to protect her. And now, basically, she is the butt of Usman's amusement. Oh, that's a tongue twister. Usman's amusement, right? She is even, you know, it's a good little troll job by Kamaru there. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. you know, how would you feel? How would you feel if Shireen?
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy at all.
If I was on Shireen's Instagram, just liking all of her photos, being like, yeah, what's up?
Well, no, you're a creep, so that's fine. You know what I mean? But if it was an opponent that was trying to wind me up, then yeah, I'd be like, you fucking prick, you're overstepping the mark. And that got me thinking. I asked Harrington, oh, hey, look at this story. I said, I'm going to look for some examples, but see if you can find any examples of like extreme trash talk where it kind of overstepped the line. He came back at me with a story about Steven Seagal, which was not what I asked for. Harrington, please explain yourself. Why did you come on and tell me about Steven Seagal?
Hey, you asked for examples of excellent trolling. Steven Seagal, noted action star from the 80s and now fat guy, says that he taught possibly the greatest of all time.
He's not a UFC fighter. I was talking about UFC fighters, okay? Steven Seagal, what the... No, I was talking about when... Chael Sonnen, for example, what did he say? What was that line at the press conference?
The only one who's ever made money with their mouth in your family is your wife.
Tito Ortiz.
Talking about Jenna Jameson at the time. I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, that's a bad one. If that was my wife at the time, I would have shit the bed for sure.
Would you have though? Really? It would have really bothered you?
Big time. Somebody talks about your wife like that? Of course. Of course. There's certain things. You talk shit about me. You talk about my fighting. You talk about me personally all day long. You shouldn't, you know, and Usman's been okay there. It's okay. It's a bit of fun. He hasn't said anything bad. He's not being dishonorable. He's not doing anything to make his sister feel bad. So it's not too bad. But if you're, you know, vocalizing things about family members, yeah, you shouldn't do that. I don't think so. That's not on.
I agree. It was almost more of a personal thing. I just know that you have a pretty thick skin when it comes to trolling, because people do say fucked up shit about you all the time, that I would assume that, you know, because here's the way that I look at it, right? Like, even the thing that Tito Ortiz said about Jenna Jameson, because that was about as far as I've seen somebody take it with trash talk. And I love Chael. I'm such a big Chael fan. He's the funniest guy in the sport. Like, he fucking is so funny.
Harrington, see if you can... Oh, Brian, please. See if you can find that clip while we're talking about it. Because I remember after the end, because when Chael said that, the entire room went, ooh. And Chael had a line. I forget what it was. He said, yeah. That's the type of guy I am. or something like that. The way he handled it was fucking awesome. I really, really liked
Tito
it.
Tito was used to like talking shit from like the mid-90s in MMA, where it's like, I'm going to smash you.
Right, that's what he did with the juice box. Remember that? Did you see that on the thing? He had a juice box because Chael had been done for steroids. Crushed the juice box like that. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm going to do to you. But and I was like, okay, all right, cringe. Fucking hell.
Tito has all of the intelligence of an affliction t-shirt.
Yeah, maybe less. Let's take a look at this video here. I see it in the comments, Brian. Let's take a little look.
Seem to be one of those that relish in the fact that you do a lot of the media during fight week. Is there an advantage for a fighter to do that, you know, and to take their minds off of maybe the fight or anything like that? Can you expand that a little bit?
Yeah, I like distractions. I don't even know what Tito's doing here. I came here to fight Wanderlei Silva, and he's busy. I got a phone call, said, you want to fight Tito on January 21st? My wife said we didn't have anything going on, so I came out to California. I love having distractions. I don't like days off. Tito is literally in the only profession I know of where you don't need to wear a suit, and he keeps showing up in one. It's like a local funeral parlor clothes, and he went and took
class,
it off a corpse.
It's something you need to learn.
Shows up
class.
Looking like a maitre d' at Golden Corral.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that he got here. Somebody got him the Uber app, or he thumbed a ride down here. I hope he gets to the Forum on
Saturday.
You're
very welcome. Your chick actually had red panty night this weekend because you're getting paid because of me.
Pause it for a second. The level in shit talk, it's wild to just watch like Tito's reaction. It's like, yeah, bro, okay.
Chael's just going. Chael he's always been very articulate. You know, he's always been very, very good. But go on, press play. I think we're getting to the good bit now.
So hold on. Did Tito what did he say about Chael's wife, Harrington, if you want to chime in?
He said it's red panty night essentially fighting me. I think that's what he said. Yeah. So anyway, so...
Speaking of which, Tito, what did you do with the money you won off of Amanda Nunes, by the way?
Actually, I just parlayed it into me kicking Chael's ass.
Yeah, everything in that photo about Tito with that ticket, except Tito. I could have sent out that same. Do you really think Tito Ortiz put $55,000 on Amanda Nunes? Come on, man. No.
Okay, final question for
you.
Scott.
You were a little speechless on that.
Yeah, a little bit speechless.
Break it to you? There's something out there called Photoshop.
I think everybody's starting to believe your lies now. Finally, Your lies aren't becoming truth, huh, buddy?
Well,
and this is for both of you. Do you recall going back to the time that you guys squared off on the mat, collegiate wrestling? Do you have any recollection? Do you remember any of that? Anything from that match?
Chell doesn't. I do. I don't remember hitting a low single on me. I don't remember that. I just remember him hitting me in the headlock and being so pissed after and seeing, do I sit on the chair and say, woe is me? Or do I put my shoes on and go run stadiums, get ready for the dual meet the next day?
Fuck yeah.
And that was a big, huge mark. In
hell yeah, bro.
Inspiration. Twitter
or being a winner.
Saturday night was fun. Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, I remember it too, man. That was half my life ago, but it
hold on,
pause.
This is not what we asked for. This is the whole interview.
This is the entire press conference. I said,
this could be a new segment, though, where we break down moments in MMA history and we just watch along because this is incredible.
The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife.
Well, just to correct you, it was never no marriage.
It was never no marriage.
No, dude.
That's what you call class right here compared to no class.
That was a nasty line.
No class. Me. No class at all. That's why you see him with thongs and fucking jeans and a t-shirt. No yeah, class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
Yeah. Bad girl.
You got to say, he just doubled down. So yeah, you don't call me the bad guy for nothing. Oh, God.
I think it's a little bit it's a little bit of a cheap shot. But I mean, look, when you're Tito Ortiz and you're with a porn star, that's par for the course. Like you have to if you were married to a porn star, you would go, you know what? People are probably going to make comments, especially the most famous porn star ever. And you're in this business of fucking meatheads and fucking dickheads and people are drinking beer. You're going to probably have to deal with that all the time. So it should almost be expected. And that's why I would assume it wouldn't even bother Tito.
Yeah, as you say, it's not just any old porn star, is it? You know what I mean? That's going to be one of the most recognizable name in porn.
We all had our times with Janet Jameson.
No, I haven't. I never did. I never did. I certainly didn't have any times. I mean,
you never watched her porns growing up?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I don't want to get into it, but still, yeah. I'd like to move on. I don't want to move on. As you say, though, you know, if you get with a porn star and the porn star of all porn stars, you have got to expect some shit like that. Certainly from people that you're going to fight. Yeah, yeah. But still, anyway, I don't know why we got onto this, but still, yeah, funny stuff.
Very interesting.
Well, what should we do to finish off here, guys?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes left here. Let's see. We got any questions, Brian?
None that are really airworthy.
Okay.
Somebody
tweeted at us a Believe You Me rap that we'll play on the next show.
Is he good?
I did say that if somebody wrote us a rap, we would play it no matter what, and they did. So I'm not going to go back on my words in Welsh.
Look at that. I said to Harrington, send some other examples of extreme trash talk, and we can have a conversation of when it's considered overstepping the mark and things like that. Other examples, Chael's entire career, but specifically that he was going to walk into Anderson Silva's home, smack his wife on the ass and tell her to make a steak. Steven Seagal claiming that he taught Anderson Silva the front kick he used to KO Belfort, and Henry Cejudo bringing the snake out against Dillashaw. I'm like, no. I mean, they are examples of maybe someone talking shit, but that's none of them are overstepping the mark.
Slapping the wife on the ass and making a steak comment wasn't overstepping the mark?
Yeah, maybe that one, actually. Maybe that one.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, dude.
You should leave wives out of it, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's get off of wives, because then I just got off yours, as they say.
Oh.
That was the old one, right? Let's get off of moms. I just got off yours. I think it is. But look, it's sort of, they are just words. He's not really going to do that. Like, if you're Anderson, you're going like, okay, I can literally say anything I want right now in the world. It's not a real thing.
This has got nothing to do with what we're talking about realistically. Well, it kind of does, but I remember Chael had another classic as well. Was there a picture of him? He was trying to feed a banana to a bus down in Brazil. And he was like,
he told the story. I don't know if there's a picture, but he told the story.
The Nogueira brothers were trying to feed a bus a banana.
They were like, you understand where these people are from. When they got off the bus, they started trying to feed a carrot to the bus because they thought it was a horse. That's how stupid these brothers are.
Oh my God. I was laughing. Awesome. It was fantastic. It really was. All right. Well, we'll wrap this one up. Thursday, we're back with an in-depth UFC 260 breakdown preview. Big title fight. We lost one of the title fights. We've got Vicente Luque taking on Tyron Woodley. We'll talk about all about that. Tyron Woodley is in a very, very difficult situation. But still, until then, Lewis, Harrington, Brian, be well, and we will talk then.
Thank you, Bisping. Have a great week. Enjoy the time with the family.